Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We are working with transformation of grief into its natural, healthy roles of dispersion, of releasing, of letting go. We might even say surrendering here. I think of this as another side of that, creating spaciousness, which is not usually the thing that we think about when we hear the word grief. Grief has energy that's contractive, that draws inward. And yet it's meant to contract us, to draw us inward, to digest the experiences that we're having, and to use that energy to supportively, in essence, make space for something different to happen. And it's not so much that the grief itself may go anywhere, more so there might be a spaciousness around it. I had one person who shared this information about grief with me, and I kind of like it as a metaphor. That if grief was like a big wave crashing against like the cliff face of a rock, you know, going up 100 meters, over time, over a while, those waves just get a little bit smaller. Instead of going all the way up the cliff face, they might go halfway, and they might go a quarter of the way. And then the waves may just continue to be there, but not necessarily crash against the cliff face. So the waves are always there. It's just the spaciousness of the cliff face gets a little bit more exposed as we learn to navigate life through those waters. A couple of my favorite resources in this area for those of you who are dealing with more profound grief in your life right now are, one, it's a book by Frances Weiler, never say her name very well, but it's The Wild Edge of Sorrow. And then there's a really fabulous documentary. Stephen Jenkinson is sort of the main person in it. And honestly, any of his books are great too. The documentary is Grief Walker. So I'm just gonna drop those resources in because I don't think I've talked about them for a while. Okay, and thank you all for the messages that have come on in for your session for today. Appreciating all of that. Okay, my loves. I invite you to take a moment to settle into your space. Making any little adjustments, getting comfy cozy. You could get 10% more comfortable. What would you do? The invitation here is to focus on your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to drink it in, and to let yourself really be immersed into it. And as you do that, I'm going to invite you to, on purpose, do that one more time. This time the invitation is to, on purpose, locate something that's pleasant in your external or your internal space. So wherever you choose to be and whatever feels right, eyes open or eyes closed. And as you take a moment to scan your environment, letting your gaze land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. And taking a moment to just notice all the pieces of that thing that you land on after you've located it, and take your time to locate that. But once you land there, just noticing what you like about it. And as you drink that energy in of all the pieces that you like the most about this object, I invite you to slow down, to really savor it, much like you would a piece of like really fine, expensive chocolate with your favorite cup of tea. or whatever your favorite snack might be. But as you take time to slow down, to savor it, just again revisiting every one of those pieces that you like the most, taking time to feel how that feels in your body, if you could imagine feeling that inside of you. If it helps, you might even imagine breathing it in, breathing it inside to feel what's happening there for you. As you hang out here, noticing the body's response, and the invitation is, if any part of that is pleasant, to savor that too. Savor that too. It's a little something in my eye. And as you continue to savor this and drink this energy in, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection with all my friends here today. Thank you to their families that created them, the ancestors that created them, and the lineage that's held it all. And thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands and have nourished those that have come before to make it possible for us to be here. And knowing that that's a gift that keeps on going for those yet to arrive. Much gratitude. Thank you. And so much care and love and tenderness for your villages, those that have served you as chosen family. We invite you to offer your appreciation outward, almost like you could imagine it shining through your heart, if that feels like it's accessible and something that you'd like to do. And as I offer this gratitude, I'm struck by the love of nature herself. So thank you to the earth that holds us, the air giving rise to spaciousness, the fire that pours through us, connecting us to source, and the waters carrying our emotions and our consciousness that flow, reminding us how to be fluid and how to hold things that are quite expansive in nature. It's all the plants, trees, all the animals that walk and crawl and swim and fly, and all the little guys, down to like the mushrooms and the microbial kingdom. Thanks for being alive in all the forms that life exists. What a blessing it is to get to share that, to share this miracle with all of those other creations and miracles. Thank you. Oh. Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. We're starting off, interestingly enough, in the fifth house, not usually the house I associate with grief, given that it's mostly the house of like play and pleasure and creativity, and it's the house of the inner child. Which often carries an innocence and a wisdom within that innocence, which actually may be the resource that we're drawing on. So I know I speak a lot about birth trauma, like I know I speak a lot about it. And also there's something really present in babes, as far as I can tell, almost from the moment of really conception. But at this point, we're actually going to go to shortly after birth, by like several hours, like not just immediately, but by hours after the birth, where baby had enough chance to really settle and realize that, hey, what was happening around them actually isn't a problem. And the adults that are in the room or the other beings, their consciousnesses that create worry, anxiety, stress, emotions of all sorts, that this little one doesn't really fully understand why that would even be necessary yet, had access to a level of peace. There's actually tremendous wisdom, tremendous capacity to access a sense of ease, a sense of maybe not like ecstatic bliss or delight, but not far off from a steady state of joy that was unabiding, that felt really like a baseline tonality, which is how we were actually able to make it through all the the beginnings of digesting the birth process and the journey that was undertaken. So this little one has to have a tremendous amount of what I'm going to term, I'm going to use the IFS term, internal family systems theory term, of essential self. And we might even think of this in other wording as your true authentic essence, or your true essence that's natural or innate within you. excuse me. If you can imagine that this little one actually has a very different take on grief energy, it actually has the capacity to create a very different awareness around what it is to let grieve, to let go, to surrender. Keeping in mind this little one has literally just lost their entire way of life, which is really no different than somebody setting up in a new country after a period of time or having other major life change. Their entire way of being immersed in water, being in oneness, is now gone. And yet they don't necessarily go into deep grief, deep-seated grief, in the way that adults might. So as we draw upon their innate capacity to surf those waves, and not even necessarily see them as crashes up the cliff face, we're actually linking that into the right hip, the masculine hip, which creates a foundation. And here we're releasing any need to excessively, forcefully, willfully make your way through something by the usual stories like, oh, it's okay, I didn't care about that anyways. Or, wow, that must mean this about me. Or anything along those lines, any of the stories that got made up, we're going to begin to unwind that tendency, that knee-jerk reaction, so to speak, to experiences around specifically loss. And that might be around something that you wanted, whether it was like a career move or a friendship or a relationship in a different way with a family member, or I don't know, maybe you had a bidding war and you lost out on a house you really wanted to buy or anything along those lines. And as we begin to look at what was lost, we're actually going to unwind that from the connective tissue of your right ovary held within that pelvic foundation. And the ovary is meant to give rise to will, and it's meant to give rise specifically not to willpower in the sense of like I have to willfully do something, but in the sense of like I innately just really love life and I want to live, I want to thrive, I want to be here, I want to exist with every fiber of my being, and I want to enjoy the shit out of it. So much so that I'm willing to bring another life into this world to celebrate it with me would be the last part of that. So the ovary is like very rah-rah yes to life, unless it's carrying a certain amount of other energies. So to support that even a little bit further, we're also going to unwind, as we release that connective tissue, the emotion of despair and a sense of hopelessness. And again, we're bringing in that infant wisdom that was connected on an unconscious level to peace. And we're actually bringing it through to your conscious awareness by linking it into all five, six senses, and then into the heart, into the heart space, which carries expansion, which carries harmony, which carries a sense of ease within it. And here we're giving your heart permission to feel what's here without having to shut off. And as we do that, we're negotiating belief systems that grief is overwhelming and I have to shut down to maneuver through it, to wade through its waters. And interestingly enough, that's all linking into the 12th house, releasing, surrendering, allowing, making space. And then we're actually going to connect that into, this is coming from Bodynamics, which is somatic developmental psychology, and it's going into the need structure, in particular working with the muscles in the front of the neck. Something as simple as like, I think of like a baby bird, like opening up its mouth going like, I need fed, or a little one as an infant rooting, they turn their head side to side, and that happens in part through these neck muscles that run on the front and on the side as well. Working right now with a portion that's more so in the front of the neck. And we're looking at this idea that it's too vulnerable, that it's too painful to express your needs. So instead, I'll please somebody else, I'll placate them, and I'll meet their needs, and hopefully they'll get the hint. And then they'll be able to, after they learn what it's like to have their needs met, be able to offer me my needs. And it may have happened to the point where it almost became unrecognizable to be able to find what it is you even needed, because you may have abandoned and practiced self-abandonment, honestly, since birth. And if you happen to find yourself in that extreme or any other version of it that's lesser, I'm going to invite that part of you, because it's not actually you, it's just a way that you learn to cope and deal in your world, to, in essence, come to the forefront. So I invite you to make contact with a part of you that's prone to fawning or people pleasing. And as you make contact with that part of you, you might even get like an image of what they look like. Depending upon how your senses are wired, you may not see an image. You may get like a felt sense. There may be just a knowing. Or maybe they actually just offer you information auditorily, like there's a sound or a word or a phrase or a whole paragraph that they're expressing. Or maybe there's a certain smell or taste. But I'm going to invite you to make contact with this part of you. And as you lean into this part of you, as you make contact with them, if you feel in a loving place towards them, if you feel in a tender, caring place towards them, feel free to let them know that. And if there's any sense of like, holy hell, I don't know about this part of me, I'm going to invite you to let me love them up for just a second. And know that any of those other feelings that you're having are really normal and natural and healthy to be there in their own ways. And they're just other parts of you that have some other feelings that are present as well. So I'm going to invite you to, again, just turn towards them with loving presence, and I'm going to radiate some from here too. So if you need any extra, I've got it for you. And then we're going to radiate that through the energy, the planetary energy of fifth house energy, which is the sun. And as we let it steep in sunlight, there's almost like this sense of imbalance. Like it also needs moonlight and starlight. So we're going to bring in the feminine essence of moonlight. And I think of starlight as being like the integration point between sun and moon. I don't think I've spoken about this a lot. So if the star was the fully integrated masculine and feminine self, it carries a certain, again, I'm going to use that word from IFS, Internal Family Systems, of essential self. It carries our truest essence of the authentic nature of who we really are. Below all that learned conditioning that we've inherited, that we grew into. As we begin to peel back those layers to land more steadfastly in this essential self, I'm going to invite your people-pleasing part to just notice it, to notice that there's actually another energy here on board. And as it begins to feel that, it may begin to change in its form. It may begin to change how its appearance. It may begin to visibly change in some way, and it may also not. It may just be like, okay, interesting. I'm going to suss that out from here, and I'm going to get to know it in my own timing. And to whatever degree this is happening, if this is like just a minor introduction, or if this is like a full body integration, I want to have this part immersed into my essential self. Whatever the reaction is, anywhere in between that is welcome. And as we welcome it in these fashions, we're also doing an emotional release of sadness from the left chest overall, the various different pec minor, pec major, on the muscles, the compassion center that hangs out here alike. And I just hear this voice go like, "Who am I even without all that stress?" Like it's so used to having to juggle that on a basic, almost unconscious, subconscious level, that it's kind of like a, almost like a wake-up call to like, whoa, I didn't even know I was doing all that, and who am I underneath all this? So I'm going to invite you to get to know yourself here below the level of the people-pleasing part, because that's again just a part of you. It's not actually really who you are. And as you get to know this side of you, we're going to do one more emotional release of sadness. It's actually going up through to the side of the left side of the throat. And it's going into the left tongue, left jaw, left TMJ joints, left nose, cheek, eye, forehead, scalp, amygdala, into the emotional brain. And this sadness is carrying a certain judgment around something that you feel that you're lacking. And for some of us, that is going to be really variable. There might be a whole list of things here. There might be just one or two things here. But the energy is that you feel that you're lacking. Like, I wasn't blank enough. I wasn't smart enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not whatever the thing is. And it's the particularly the feminine things that you feel like you're lacking. And I know that we're going into left brain, but most of this is on the left side of the body, which is the feminine side of the body. And the left brain part of it is just how the masculine is perceiving or present to that feminine energy of lacking something. And then it feels like the masculine portion of that is also lacking, because when one lacks, the other does too. And amongst all this energy of lack, there's an internal, constant, chronic grieving process that's happening that's creating wear and tear at the level of the immune system. It's creating this sort of like chronic internal rejection, which is making it more susceptible and a higher level of sensitivity to the rejection out there, the external world. So, as we run this seed tree to support this, we're also bringing in the consciousness of what it is to accept. So just like that essential nature held, or essential self holds the capacity for acceptance of all the parts of you, we're drawing on that particular quality right now. And this seed tree is going to run for the next 7 days until we meet again, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, anxiety, depression, help us to heal on all levels, in particular the nervous and the immune system. Then we're also working with the circulation of the feminine essence of the yin energy that it carries, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection. The feminine carrying the nourishment, the masculine protection. What is it to be sandwiched in nourishment and protection? And to stand in the middle of all of that. And then circulating hydration, bringing in water and joy and releasing any impurities that no longer need to be here. To support that in happening even more effectively, we're also going to run a body chemistry, which is not a usual part of the seed tree. It supports the immune system. And we're actually releasing old toxicities and intolerances on a spiritual frequency. And again, this is relating to the part of you when you were first born, separating away from the consciousness of oneness that it was totally immersed into. And on this side of things, it has a tendency to forget. And think of this as just offering the capacity to remember the fullness of the truth of you. And then carrying on with that C tree. D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking out all the clutter that no longer needs to be here. And what remains is gets for, to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where you may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift in underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And then we're going to circulate vagus nerve energy. So the vagus nerve in particular has a few different components to it. It's known as the polyvagal nerve because it's poly, meaning it has multiple functionalities. And there, in particular, we're working with the ventral vagal portion, which is the part of us that's connected to that essential nature, that essential self. And it's carrying all those same qualities: calmness, curiosity, compassion, desire for creativity, for social qualities, and time to be spent in ways that are amenable. It's very interesting in being present. In the same way that that infant self had that wisdom, it's like tapping back into that through this portion of your nervous system because it never actually really went anywhere. It just may have gotten covered up by the other components, the sympathetic nervous system, which creates that fight flight response, or the dorsal vagal of the vagus nerve, which goes into the shutdown, the freeze, the immobilize, the I couldn't possibly, I'm too timid, no. And a sense of even depression can come here too. Apathy, inertia. You get the idea. So as we work here, we're actually connecting all of this through to the heart chakra, which I consider to be kind of like the granddaddy Mac Poopa of all the chakras. I mean, they're all pretty awesome, quite frankly. But there's something really special about the heart because in addition to doing its jobs, it also balances all the other chakras. It balances the three below, which I think of as connecting us to our humanness, and the three above, connecting us to our beingness, our divinity. And the heart being this intersection to what it is to be a human being, what it is to be messy and divine, what it is to be connected to your wild self is often a way that this gets termed. And I think of that as going beyond what you learn. Going beyond the conditioning or behind it, whatever direction we want to associate with that, and connecting to this essential, natural, instinctual, wild self that's always here. It actually can't not be while you're alive. As we tap into this through the heart chakra, we're going to link that one more time to the fifth house, to the quality of the sun that lives here. And it associates with the sign of astrology of Leo. Leo is very much about commanding presence. It's very much about, look at me. It's very much about attracting attention and showing off and like loving it and reveling in it. So I'm going to invite us to just welcome whatever degree of that is comfortable. Others immediate like, nope, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm going to invite you to get curious about that too, because there's actually something there that was lost along the way. There's something there that said it's not safe to be seen, that I should hide. Like I shouldn't actually show what it is I want or need. Excuse Okay. For me too. So as we work with this, connecting interestingly enough to the spleen meridian, which carries our nourishment upward. And it goes deep into those neck muscles. And it allows for that nourishment to rise up into the head brain. And I see it going right into the prefrontal cortex in this case, which carries that essence of higher wisdom, compassion that came on board roughly around the completion of your development, which happens somewhere between 21 to 24, depending upon if we have more testosterone or estrogen in our system. If we have more testosterone, it's a little bit later. If we have more estrogen, it's a bit earlier. And some consider this prefrontal cortex that carries our compassion, our empathy, our wisdom, to be our connection into our higher self's heart. So the heart of your essential nature gets to hang out here. So even though your baby self didn't necessarily have this lit up, I invite you to imagine in your infant self that it was nonetheless immersed into this energy field. And it didn't necessarily need to have this part of its brain active in order to remember. It was just on the other side of it and was just starting the process of forgetting. As you remember now in adulthood, as you get invited to recall through your prefrontal cortex's wisdom, there's usually a grieving process that goes with that to some nature. A sense of having been separate or perceived as separate for a period of years. And here we're working with the belief system of I abandoned myself and how that's related to specifically your relationship to your mom and any feelings around abandonment that may have happened in different ways. And that may have also, for those of you who are mothers, have gotten replicated in a certain way, or it may have been the inverse. It may have been something that you sought to have never happen. And either which way, looking at that need to overcome this abandonment as being something that's still somehow like an unmet need. So we're connecting it to these resources that we've been gathering up. So far in the session, we're linking it through to the heart chakra, to the planetary energy of the sun, to the prefrontal cortex, so it can get held by comfort from wind within, by the comfort of connecting to you from the inside out. And if you haven't already, I'm going to invite you to check back in on that part of you that we called the fawner or the people pleaser. And just check in to see if it's interested in doing the same or if it has any other needs that it wants to express. And I'm going to invite you on purpose to turn towards it and to actually receive it and to listen to it and to care for it. This is a part of you that developed very early on. So it may have the infant needs or toddler type of needs. I'm going to invite you to turn towards it and tend to it like you would an infant or a toddler. And even though you might have experienced things like being banished at an early age, I'm here to invite you to rewrite that story and to actually not banish, to not abandon, to not replicate the cycle of internal rejection by that which you experience externally, but to turn towards this as an opportunity to reclaim what was lost back then. And probably the most rebellious act there may ever be, self-love, to love all the parts of you. And releasing sadness and grief around those experiences of times in which you did feel banished or abandoned by yourself or by others. In ways that may have even eroded trust in your own internal guidance. in ways that it may have created chaos or confusion. And I see that chaos, confusion hanging out just another side of the midline around the heart space. And it goes down through the rib cage in the front body, down through the abdomen, and down through the pelvis, and even into the inner legs, all the way down to the inner feet. And as we release the learned response and learned helplessness that comes with self-banishment or self-abandonment, we actually have the opportunity to reclaim ourselves by means of turning towards the hurt, the pain, the feelings that are here. So we invite us not to get rid of the grief, not to get rid of the sadness, but actually to, and this is going to be a bit counterintuitive to how sometimes how we work, but to actually welcome it to be here. So you can actually actionably turn around this cycle of banishment, of abandonment. And banishment can happen in ways that we might not even realize that we're doing it because it was just so automatic. As a child, you may have been like sent to your room, or no, you can't have that, but you were interrupted, you were banished from you and the thing that you wanted, or you were banished from company and connection. In ways that you might have learned that, like, to fully show up as all of me is not okay, it's dangerous, it's gonna overwhelm people, I'm too much. Or I'm not enough what they actually need, so I got sent away. And whether it was I'm too much or I'm not enough, it feeds a sense of there's something lacking. There's something, excuse me, there's something wrong with me. That energy of wrongness is almost like a corkscrew through the midline of the body, going from the heart all the way up to the crown. And much like a corkscrew, we're actually going to corkscrew it on up. As you continue to welcome the sadness and the grief, the corkscrew automatically actually just slips out. It actually is like an upside down opening of a bottle of wine from the heart. And then this corkscrew actually begins to move from the crown out of the heart. And it releases. One twist at a time as you welcome each twist and turn of sadness and grief. I see this as actually also that same twisty turny pattern is mimicking the twists and turns that you take through the birth canal. And releasing the sadness and the grief that's anticipatory in nature, right along with the sadness and the grief that were reactive in nature. And again, this is linking into the fifth house. Bringing in the quality of lightheartedness this time. From the other side of the sadness, this grief as it gets welcomed, not banished, not abandoned, but welcomed. And the corkscrew falls out, and there's a renegotiation of trust. All things fifth house begin to become a little bit more expressive through this lighthearted energy of you as we lighten your load, so to speak, in these ways. And we're linking that into sort of where we're working with that sea tree through that left side of the head, the face, the neck, into the chest. We're working with the left ear and the right eye. And there's a sense of being able to also reclaim your sensuality by means of turning towards those aspects of you that you might have been a bit afraid to turn towards. And as we reclaim you, as you reclaim the wild essence of you, we begin to actually change the way that the senses are operating. And as that happens, releasing the nervous system agitation or activation that can go with that. For those of you who are prone to like ringing in the ears or vertigo or having some level of visual disturbances, like maybe you have a lazy eye or something along those lines, or Sometimes when our nervous system energy is cleaning things out through the senses, there can be interesting things like the foreground for a split second becomes the background, and the background becomes the foreground, and then it like flips around again, or anything along those lines. There's sort of like minor, well, considering how you might perceive that, it might be kind of major, but if there's those sorts of glitches that are happening, it's actually the nervous system beginning to unwind and release that old pain, that old hurt, and begin to find a new way through here. It's just a bit maybe dizzying or disorienting in the process. And if that's happening for you, I'm going to invite you to imagine you can say like a little hello to the four corners of the room. Any point in time, you can do the practice that we started off with, which was to find something that's pleasant and neutral to be with, and to orient or to resource off of that. And then we're working with this belief system. The belief system here is, my life is ruined. My life is ruined. And it's happening in the context of a relationality change or a switch up, whether that was like a breakup, whether that was like, my mom always does this, my dad always does that. But it's in the relational field, whether it's to family, romantic partners, friends. Can also be happening and likely is between different parts of you. Because that's also an inner relational field. My life is ruined. And it's connected to the consciousness of blame and then a second related belief system of you did this, like you ruined this for me. Okay, I'm heading into maybe challenging territory. But I'm gonna invite us to actually like 180 that Byron Katie this. And say, like, hey, what if just for a moment, like just playing with it, just as a thought form, just for funsies, just for a second, what if that didn't happen to me? What if I actually attracted the way that I was perceiving my treatment? Because there was actually something that I was kind of getting from it. Well, I know, I know. Just bear with me. And what if there was something here that I even like kind of liked and kind of got off on, but it was happening in a very deep unconscious, subconscious level? There's an entire book written about this, and if you're curious about it, it's called Existential Kink. Like, what is it that you're getting off on, and why do you keep attracting these types of painful experiences into your life? And is there a part of you that's kind of masochistic that kind of likes it? It's kind of into it. It's kind of like, well, you know what? This sucks, but it's shitty, but it's familiar. I know this. I'll replicate that again. I'm used to that. If I change, I'm gonna have to give that up and start again. And I don't know what I'm gonna find over there. So better I just don't get overwhelmed by something new, and I hang out with the familiar pain, the familiar suffering. In ways that might even fortify the need for my people pleaser part to be present and online. If it helps, I'm swallowing this somewhat maybe bitter pill with y'all. So what if I actually am fortifying and justifying and reinforcing this need for this people pleaser part to be here? Because of those painful experiences around, you have done this to me. Put another way, the other side of the people-pleasing coin is often reactivity in the form of sometimes it's labeled, and I don't really love this, it's labeled as oppositional defiance, like, no, just like, I won't. I'll willfully say, like, nope, I don't think so. Not here. You can't do that to me. I deserve to be treated like this. This is your fault. This is happening. Okay. That's a really interesting dynamic that I don't expect to necessarily be resolved in one highlighting of this. Most of us take months, years, decades. That was a little hard to say, to work through these. So we're looking at whatever layer is present, and I might be talking about myself when I say decades. Like, how is this still happening? But it is. So let me look at it, and let me look at what I'm getting out of it. And maybe at a surface level, there's something that I feed off of. I'll talk about myself. For that's kind of like dramatic. It's like a, oh, well, this is happening, so now I can talk about this, and then I can share that with other people, and then I can get like that little pat on the back or get something reinforced about me, like, oh, that's terrible, that is happening to you. No, we can't do that. So it may be how I cultivate a sense of being cared for. Like, I have to create all of that in order just to simply have my need met of being cared for. Okay. Maybe you can relate, or maybe it's something not quite the same, but in the ballpark of that. And as we work with these dynamics, as we begin to notice them, become more conscious of them, it creates the opportunity for something to be navigated a different way. And we're going to support that. By linking it into the pericardial meridian, which surrounds the pericardium is like the external layer of the heart. And it's meant to connect us to our sensual essence. It's meant to supportively protect the heart in a way that allows us to become even more deeply aware and sensualized in our experience of life. Sensualized is apparently a word today. But you get the idea. It gives us the capacity to open up to sensations and to experiences of life without having to guard against them or filter them through anything. As we begin to, in essence, notice that without all those victim, blame, rescuing type of dynamics, we actually get to experience life as something that might be more like just different fields of energy that we're moving through. They're almost like weather patterns, like a cold front that got moved through, or a warm front, or a rainy season. Whatever it is that you are moving through in the weather, what is it to literally just be able to weather your life with ease? What is it to keep on walking? Not running, but just mindfully going, like, yep, I see that. That's also not me. I see that. That's actually not me. But because I know it's not me, it's because it's not personal, I can actually make my way through those dynamics that are still stressful in ways that might be confusing for an alien, new at first, but may take time to fortify and grow in familiarity so I can navigate through the storms of life and the sunny periods of life without taking it so personal or personal at all. And that may just lighten our load of grieving. That may just set the stage for grief to be seen in a different way. And all this is linking right back into that right hip. Looking at this specifically, the pelvic floor. I think I talked about this in the last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. There's a diamond-shaped band of tissue that runs between genitals, anus, sit bones, and we're looking at specifically the right half of that. I'm going to invite you to almost imagine like we can stimulate correct or optimal nervous system innervation. And as it receives optimal vagal tone, it doesn't need to collapse or go like, oh, I couldn't possibly. And it doesn't need to be super tight and rigid to hang on for dear life. It begins to have flexibility. We're going to bring in hydration here, helping the cells take in water and joy and release any impurities. And we're fortifying your masculine's capacity to allow for this activity, this productivity, this all the things that the masculine carries, the capacity to produce results and make things happen, begins to flush through the band of tissue of the pelvic bowl here on that right side. And there's layers, so sometimes we need to like do this repeatedly. I'm actually going to keep this running every hour for the next 3 days, so you can have even a stronger, more resilient foundation. We're going to bring in the consciousness of tensegrity, meaning it can help to bear its part of the load without being overwhelmed or underwhelmed, which is that collapse I couldn't possibly state. And as we activate tonality here in an optimal fashion for you, it begins to allow for the entire left side to release any tension as the feminine gets to feel held by the masculine's capacity to take action. The feminine has more capacity to access her own nourishment for her because she's not trying to out-masculine the masculine. She's not trying to be the man that the man couldn't be. She's actually welcoming a different way of being within her own feminine essence that's different from her mother's. And as we do this, we're cutting the apron strings from how your mom did it, from how your mom thought about things, from how your mom held belief systems, in particular around men. And providing nourishment as a whole to men or to others or to self or in any direction. And as we cut those apron strings, we're cutting it at the heart. There's these little bands of tissue that open and close the valves of the heart, fancy name chordae tendinae, kind of a fun Latin word to say, two words. And the chordae tendinae that open and close this valve are where some of the strain of trying to be like mom while you dishonor yourself, while you abandon yourself, while you banish yourself, is creating excess strain here. So as we release that and you find your own way to express through your own heart, not replicating what mom did, how she responded to dad, or any of those masculine feminine dynamics that were at play that you learned that are no longer in service to you and what it is you're calling forth in your relationships. We begin to cleanse that from here. We're gonna run several things, cellular repair, which restores cells back to their fullest potential of health. Then body chemistry, cleaning out any intolerances on emotional frequencies that create rejection. Like feed abandonments or abandonments. And then we're working with cleaning out any toxicities on a spiritual plane that says something like, I'm not good enough. I can't be seen as the image of the fullness of that which made me. And it's diminishing your access to your creativity, to your capacity to create your expression of you, to artfully express how it is you wish to relate to others. There's sometimes an association between creativity, meaning we have to produce something artistically, but what if it's just about cultivating an artful expression of how you show up inside of you? How you show up in your relationships, and what is it to mold the clay of your persona? Because you get to, and you're free to change. You're not actually beholden to replicating these family learnings in the ways that used to have been done or used to have been necessary. As you find your own way through, you find your way through. running, and I think we worked with this earlier. The permissions. I get to be myself. I get to be me. And we're linking that to the knees. To stand without fear, without shame, without insecurity. And releasing fear, shame, and insecurity from the various ligaments and tendons in the knees. And then we're linking the expression of the chordae tendineae in the heart to the tendons of the knees. I must admit, I mix up tendons and ligaments all over the place. So I'm going to include ligaments and tendons. I know it's not the same. But honestly, I really don't care what it's connected to. It's that same band of connective tissue. Tendon and ligament is similar in nature. It's just expressing that word, just varies what it's connecting to. Which I never had to learn in medical school. So, as we work with this through the various tendons and ligaments of the knees, it brings in stability without having to bury the weight of the past. It begins to lighten the load. As we release that, we're also taking the burdens of the past from the hips, from the pelvis bowl, the pelvic bowl in its entirety. And if we can imagine, the work that we've done is lightening that. Almost like, I just keep seeing this image of a cauldron and soup, maybe because it's so cold out right now. But this idea that with every soup ladle, with everything that we're fishing out of there, the bowl becomes a little bit lighter. As we release the chaotic soupiness of how the family expressions and past has been through you, we begin to unburden the weight carried energetically and lightening the load of the knees. May you bend a knee to no man but the earth herself. Meaning, may you bend a knee to no human but to the earth herself. Meaning, what is it to submit to the natural essence, the natural world, the natural you, and stand strong in the face of anything that says otherwise than that. May you stand in right order. May you stand in right order. And with that, I see all the men, all the ancestors connected to the family lines through dad's side lining behind you, and all the maternal lineage in front of you. And you with this intersectionality that's integrating all of it, defined by the consciousness of breaking cycles, breaking old patterns. In ways that are nurturing and yet of the essence of stoicism and warrior energy alike. There's a balancing act here. I'm going to sum it up as a term a friend of mine uses, as saying, what is it to be a nurturing alpha? What is it to be a nurturing alpha? We're going to tap that all in, and we invite you to breathe and receive. Giving that all a slow, deep breath. I've got a song. I'm torn between two different ones. I'm gonna go with Namo Kali. I invite you to imagine that the Kali energy is supportive of releasing anything that no longer serves. By Ali Maya. It's about just shy of 4 minutes. I invite you to breathe and receive here.
Om Namo Kali Kali Om Namo 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 Oh Great Mother, we invoke you in this space. Take away the pain and fill us with your grace. Oh, Great Mother, we invoke you in this space. Take away the pain and fill us with your grace. Burn it all away, Kali, burn it all away. If it doesn't serve us, then burn it all away. Burn it all away, Kali, burn it all away. If it doesn't serve us, then burn it all away. Om Namo Kali Kali Om Namo. 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 Oh, Great Mother, we invoke you in the space. Take away the pain and fill us with your grace. Oh, Great Mother, we invoke you in the space. Take away the pain and fill us with your grace. Burn it all away, Kali, burn it all away. If it doesn't serve us, then burn it all away. Burn it all away. Serve us, then burn it all away. Om Namo Kali Kali Om Namo. 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 Mother, we invoke you in the space. Take away the pain and fill us with your grace. Oh, Great Mother, we invoke you in the space. Take away the pain and fill us with your grace. Burn it all away, Kali, burn it all. If it doesn't serve us, then burn it all away. Burn it all away, Kali, burn it all away. If it doesn't serve us, then burn it all away.
Thank you.
Follow.
Oops.
There you go. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, y'all. And thank you so much for you, exactly as you are. What a beautiful thing. Oh, Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. You're most welcome, everyone. Wishing you a warm, beautiful rest of your day. And we'll see you in a week. Oh, and a reminder that my sale is on until Monday. So if you want 25% off of sessions or any other online workshops, use Vibrant25 at checkout. Happens once a year. So feel free to jump in on that. I'm going to wish you all a beautiful rest of your day and week ahead. Mwah, mwah, mwah. If anyone wants any additional support, feel free to stick around. And I'm going to turn off the recording here for you to do that. Okay. Bye for now, y'all.